This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Professor Trevor Hart is the director of the Institute for Theology, Imagination and the Arts at the University of St Andrews in Scotland. When he was in Sydney, I spoke with him about the arts and the place of imagination in a spiritual life. I began by asking him what he means when he uses the phrase religious imagination.
Well, let's back up a moment and think about what imagination means. Part of what imagination means is the capacity to picture things that aren't present to us through our senses, to picture states of affairs that aren't confronting us in the world. We imagine things that happened in the past, we can imagine things that are going to happen in the future. I suppose religious imagination refers as a category to all those ways in which, in our dealings with God, in our dealings in faith, we rely on the imagination to grant us access or to grant us a sense of some reality, whether it's God himself or God's activity in the world or whatever. So the imagination plays a vital role in resourcing faith, in helping us to understand and to appreciate and to encounter God indeed.
Well, skeptics often talk about God as someone's imaginary friend, though, and they mean it as an insult. And what's going on
Absolutely.
There?
Absolutely. Well, I would want to distinguish very carefully between the words imaginary and imaginative. I think those are two quite different things. Now, of course, the imagination actually can throw up all sorts of illusions and fictions and things that aren't real. That's a great blessing, of course. It's what a lot of fiction and art is based on. It can also be very dangerous. If we believe things are real when they aren't, we can come across all sorts of problems in practical terms. But to say that the imagination is fundamentally involved in faith and in religion is not, of course, to say that faith and religion are based on an illusion or that God is merely imaginary. It's simply to say that the way in which we know God, as indeed in the way in which we know lots of other things, relies on our capacity to picture God. And we do that through that part of our makeup, which we refer to as the imagination. We're able to actually form pictures of God and to have those pictures in mind when we're dealing with God.
A lot of the Bible's teaching seems to come to us in the form of images, so Jesus being described as the Lamb of God,
yes,
or the terrible images of hell, for example. Is this is there something appropriate about this sort of way of communicating spiritual truths?
When you're dealing with spiritual realities, you are dealing with things which are not available in physical form. And therefore, in a sense, we have to picture them in physical form of one sort or another. So there's a sort of inevitable poetic aspect to dealing with the religious. We picture the invisible through visible realities that we're familiar with. So inevitable and important in that way, I suppose, because without it we couldn't actually make any sense of invisible realities. That's not true only of religion, it's true of all sorts of different facets of our experience. So that if we're talking about attitudes or emotions, we very often appeal to concrete metaphors. I know Australia's a big wine-making region, and if you read wine critics, you'll very quickly discover, as I'm sure you already have, that when they're trying to describe the taste of a wine, they refer immediately to a whole range of physical sensations, because actually what they're trying to refer to isn't available in that way. But they can come up with good likenesses based on things that we do know about from the physical world. And there's an analogy there. God's not, of course, a bottle of wine, but nevertheless, there is a good analogy there, I think, for the way in which we try and make sense of and share with other people, and to ourselves, too. The nature of the reality we're dealing with by drawing on or referring to images of that sort.
Is this particularly difficult for people who live in an age of science where we're told that testing and measuring are the ways you know truth? Are you suggesting there's a different kind of truth? Or what are you saying?
I think there is a difference, a distinction to be drawn between the way science deals with things and the way, let's say, the poet deals with things. But we shouldn't polarise the two. They're not really completely separate. They're on a continuum and they're at different parts of that continuum. Science relies hugely on images and on the imaginative. There's nothing more imaginative than a scientific hypothesis. Then you go on and test the hypothesis. There's nothing more imaginative than working out the details of some calculation, picturing to yourself what would follow if X. That's an imaginative activity too. So in all sorts of ways, science is an imaginative activity. But of course the way the imagination works in science is not exactly the same as the way the imagination works in the poetic sphere. But I wouldn't want to polarise them and see them as two quite different sorts of truth. I just think that the way the imagination works in each is slightly different. But at points they do overlap. There's something very poetic about some scientific images. When a scientist discovers something, when all said and done, if it's something that's not been known before, he or she then has to say, well, how am I going to make sense of this? Am I going to invent a completely new word or a completely new concept to describe it? Or am I going to borrow one? Am I going to say, well, it's a bit like this? And the moment you're in that territory, you're into the territory of poetry, of metaphor.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.